Studio in New York City, Cheesehead TV brings you two guys who like to think they know something about football.
Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome back to Packer Transplants Live. I am Aaron Negler, and I am joined, as always, by Mr. Corey Banky, my partner here at Cheesehead TV. We are coming to you live from the Live X studio in Midtown Manhattan, and we are ready to talk some Packers. Corey, why don't you tell us what is on tap this afternoon?
Today, we're going to get back into the swing of things after the bye week and get ready for the big showdown the LA Rams and a win. But right now, it's time for the good, the bad, and the ugly. We got the good. We got
the overall health of the football team.
We got the bad. We got
Rodgers still not right.
We got the ugly. We got
no Packers football last week. And a late addition is some of our engineers in the background there forgetting to switch from the P-Bot animation to Packer Transplants Live at the last second. How you doing, Banky?
I'm good. Is the stream good?
The streams are good. Oh, that's good. But they caught it. They caught it just in time. Over your shoulder. All we saw is Packer Transplants Live. All is well. How the hell are you?
I'm good.
I love that just before we start this show, Banky says, didn't we already just talk about all this? You know, having not had football for a week, Packers football anyway, there's not a whole lot movement-wise as far as, you know, maturation of the roster. There's no win or loss to debate. There's no, personnel usage to get upset about. It's just a week of relaxation and reflection. What'd you do Sunday, say, football Sunday? What was your football Sunday last week when there was no Packers game on?
I relaxed.
How so?
I just watched football.
Yeah, the same. I was stuck watching, well, not stuck, but I chose to watch mostly the Bears-Patriots game.
Yeah.
I watched a little bit of the Vikings-Jets game.
I watched the Vikings game.
But I figured the Vikings would probably take care of the Jets, which they did. But yeah, I tell you what, it's always a hard weekend to get through when there's no Packers game in the middle of a football season. But now, we're back.
Yeah, we're back. You know, nobody was talking about us as usual.
What do you mean?
Oh, you know the best thing that happened this weekend?
Oh, boy. What's that?
The Brewers lost.
Oh, Banky. Why you gotta go there? That's just not right.
Because I don't care!
No.
You know what? Now we can talk about football, not some BS baseball crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Right.
Meanwhile, I do commiserate with Milwaukee fans because the Major League Baseball did not want you to win. It was very clear.
Mm-hmm.
It was a little bit like the Packers.
Uh-huh. Small market team, can't buy a break.
But yeah, I'm really glad that's over. And now all the people that I followed on Twitter that were like Milwaukee, it's funny. Like
all in on the Brewers.
Yeah, these like Brewers people that I was following
right.
Because like they, I don't know, you were following. I don't know what happened, but there's like this whole bunch of people I was following.
Yep.
And now their tweets are annoying to me because it's like they don't even tweet about the Brewers. They tweet about like shows on television. I'm just like, wow.
They're like being human beings?
Yeah. And I'm like, unfollow, unfollow, unfollow. It's what everybody does to me as soon as the season ends.
As soon as the season's over.
It's like, oh, that blowhard.
I'll see you next August.
I don't need to know about live streaming.
It's pretty true. Should we get to some Packers news here?
Is there Packers news? Didn't we pick up a fullback on the practice squad?
We did, but I didn't include that because I know how much you hate talking about guys on the practice squad.
You didn't include that in the news section?
That is correct.
Nagler.
Because I know you just dismiss it and ridicule me.
That's messed
up. So why would I do that?
It's a fullback, though.
It is a fullback. And now we're talking about it, even without a lower third. The miracle of the internet. first up, number one thing. Yesterday, it is revealed. You wondered, they had the bye week. Could Rodgers get right, shed the knee brace? No.
No.
He did not practice yesterday.
But he practiced today.
He did practice today, but although it was very apparent the knee brace is still on. He was asked at his locker yesterday about possibly shedding it for the game. He played coy. I'll be surprised if it's gone. I think he'll still be wearing it.
Yeah.
But
who cares?
We'll see.
I mean, I care.
I care.
I care, but
starting quarterback.
Does it really matter, though?
Yes. If it's limiting what they can do on offense.
He's still going to be limited.
Yeah.
Even if he takes the knee brace off.
Maybe not. The knee brace being off may be a sign that
he's not limited. I feel like he's going to be limited all season.
Do this?
I've already, you know how the stock market puts things in that they've wagered in?
Yep.
I've wagered that in. They've wagered that thinking. In.
Banky doesn't like the Milwaukee Packer fans or the Brewers.
Nope.
From the YouTube chat.
Nope. Nope and nope.
Gold package, get out of here.
Green Bay. And you know what else I don't like? I don't like East Green Bay either.
Ooh. Oh,
That's how narrow I get.
There's a very limited scope of what Banky likes.
I'm a West Green Bay guy. Back in the 1920s, mm-hmm. right? Between 1890 and 1920, I would have been part of the... I would have been on the West Green Bay picket side, the Fort Howard side, and we would have been fighting and going across the bridge.
I love that the lower while you're saying this is Roger still dealing with knee.
Yeah. So, no. Gold package. Now, I do think Bob Harlan made the right decision, okay, because he is a genius.
You mean to pull the games from
Bob Harlan made an empathetic and business financial decision to include Milwaukee fans as part of gold package.
Right.
And that was a very, very wise decision. But literally,
I think it was a wise decision for the time, but I think the time has come to just get rid of that.
I would love to, because here's the thing. Gold package.
Oh boy.
You can tell. Okay. I've gone to
It used to be the opposite. It used to be the gold package were like the crazy people.
Yeah.
And it has really turned around. Now it is milk toast tumbleweed time. Yeah. I don't know what happened. Speaking of not knowing what happens, I don't know how this happened. I mean, I guess the Rams are really good because the Green Bay Packers are 9.5-point underdogs.
Of course they are.
Heading into Sunday's game against LA. The largest point spread deficit for the Packers in Aaron Rodgers' tenure as a starting quarterback.
Okay.
Ever in the history of his era. And, you know, that's one of those things that we talk about outside the organization, the news people will talk about. People talk about the line, obviously. Mike McCarthy was asked today about the line, I kind of liked his response. And you will enjoy the questioner. Roll it, Gaff.
Do you guys care at all? Is that any talking point at all that you're relatively big underdog heading into this?
No, I don't. I have not addressed it. You know, obviously, when you get into those types of things, I think it's best to avoid it. You know, I mean, there's a pretty strict gambling policy still in place in the NFL, so. What is the line, Bill? About
10.
10, wow. So you take
Who you taking, Banky? Who you got?
I'm going to take the Packers.
Yeah?
On the over.
I'm going to say the Packers. And by the way, Bill Huber there, who's questioning McCarthy, says the line is 10. That is not strictly true. It's 9.5 in almost every book I saw. I'm going to take...
Bill Huber got something wrong?
Okay, be
I'm
nice.
I'm so surprised.
Be nice.
Dude, I thought this was decaf coffee. It's not. It's not. I don't know what happened.
Oh, my goodness.
You're in Great. For a ride, Banky, Nagler.
Banky with caffeinated coffee at 5 p.m. Eastern is just not a recipe for success.
Oh, yeah. Bill Huber, way to go with the accurate information there, buddy.
I'm going to take the Packers to cover but lose the game.
Come on. If I didn't like this mug so much,
you'd throw it at me.
I would break it.
Yeah.
Then I would throw it at you.
Well, and I would like break this off and amazing. We'd have a whole fight.
The only thing better than
glass versus ceramics.
The only thing better than that is if a pigeon came in the studio.
Yeah, we have the windows open because somebody didn't pay their AC bill. I don't know. I don't know what happened.
That would not be me.
If we melt in a pool, they'll die.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing, okay?
Right.
Does the NFL hate the Packers?
No.
Like, do you think I have a sneaking suspicion gosh. When here whoever does
don't go Alex Jones on me here. I can't handle it. Whoever, not today. Not on a day where we have sirens and bombs outside. Whoever, this is a safe space, Banky.
Oh Lord! Now you're gonna tell me that you have to have like target words or what is it? What is the thing? Safe words. No, there's no safe words. Okay.
All right.
Look. I feel like the NFL scheduler, okay, whoever this, whoever
there
this
are three
is.
Or four people, and they work, like, together with liaisons from the teams because the teams put in requests, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. These three or four people more than likely work in sub-basement C-level of the NFL, right? They don't get to see sunlight.
Well, they don't, but while they're making the schedule, it is kind of like that.
Yeah.
They are, like, in this windowless room.
I feel like they were like, the Rams, they're doing good. The Patriots, yeah, they got Tom Brady. Hey, let's make the Packers play them back-to-back.
Well, you know.
At least they gave us the bye. At least they thought about us a little bit.
Get healthy before you travel coast to coast.
You take this on. Here's the thing. You know what's funny is if we go 2-0 on these two games, right? We're going to win the Super Bowl. That's what everybody's going to say. Twitter's going to blow up, right?
Right.
If we lose against the Rams, I feel like Cheesehead TV will gain viewers.
Oh, no doubt.
Okay.
The drumbeats will start.
All of the fans who are going to come back around when the Super Bowl happens that are like wearing their green and gold and taking it out of the closet since 2010.
Right.
All those people are going to come out and be like the negative Nellies because that's who it is, right? The true fair weather fans, they come out of the woodwork when we lose a big game and then they come back out of the woodwork when we go to the Super Bowl.
Right. I feel that. That'll happen. But before they get to the Super Bowl, they have to play these games, including another piece of news here. The league announcing earlier this afternoon that Dolphins-Packers has moved 4:25 Eastern, 3:25 Central. Banky, you know what that means? More time to tailgate prior to kickoff.
I love it. Dude, people watching this show that have tailgated with me, okay, when you're making your friends... And the person who is watching this show right now, I know that they're watching, knows this. Mm-hmm. When you're making 9 old fashions at 9 in the morning,
right?
There's something wrong. Yeah. Like, there's something really right about it.
It's perfect, but...
But you're like,
it's 9 in the morning.
It's 9 in the morning on a Sunday.
Mm-hmm. But kickoff's in 3 hours, you know, so 10, I gotta get these drinks
10
in.
10 changes things, right?
Sure,
it's the That 1 hour difference is a big deal.
I agree. And this is a 3-hour difference. So that's
It's great.
Get yourself.
Well, I was saying for an Eastern game, you know, it's a 1 o'clock thing.
Yeah.
So everybody's saying I should get a haircut, and because everybody's saying that, I'm not going to do it.
He's just going to keep.
I'm looking at the comments now.
Don't do that.
I guess there's a script. So.
Yeah, there is. Final piece of news. It's not really news, but it kind of irked me because, obviously, with the health of this football team now, Geronimo Allison and Randall Cobb are back at practice, etc. And it was like, oh, what are we going to do with all these wide receivers? Some fantasy football Yahoo puts out there, they should, here's a suggestion, trade Randall Cobb. Wait, how many times do we have to go through this? Randall Cobb's contract and the position he plays, namely as a slot receiver, what about him makes him attractive to other teams? He is most valuable in Green Bay.
But who said that?
Who are they calling?
Who said that?
Some of those fantasy guys.
Like an
Yahoo.
NFL fantasy? Oh, Yahoo.
Yahoo Sports. Nah. You know, it's like,
Yahoo.
But then it generates, you know, all this stuff online and Twitter and my mentions blow up. And I'm just like, people, Randall Cobb is more valuable in Green Bay than anywhere else in the league. And I also saw some erroneous kind of speculation that, well, the Packers were shopping him this summer. No, one team called the Packers about Cobb and the Packers said, no, thanks. We're not interested in trading him. The Packers were not the instigators. So let's put that to bed. Once and for all, before October 30th and the deadline arrives and passes and we can stop talking about it for good.
Why would you trade Cobb?
You wouldn't.
No. Clearly, whoever thinks we're going to trade Cobb did not watch the first game of the season.
Yeah, seriously. All right, let's move on to the offense because we are talking about Randall Cobb and the return of the wide receivers that were injured. The injury report came out just a little while ago. We saw Equanimeous St. Brown was added with a knee injury, but everybody's practicing. Cobb's practicing. Geronimo Allison's practicing, albeit limited.
I like it.
Hamstrings, etc.
I like it.
But I am interested to see. I am very interested to see how they handle the wide receiver rotation now that you're going to have, supposedly, apparently, a full complement of wide receivers. And at the beginning of the year, it was really easy because it was like, well, Geronimo Allison is clearly number three. But now, with the way MVS has come on, it's going to be hard to keep him off the field. Like, St. Brown... I think he's acquitted himself really well, only got one target on Monday night, and he made the most of it. I would be very surprised if they just shut those guys down. You know what I mean? I think Jamal Moore will be inactive. I don't think that'll be a surprise to anybody.
Yeah.
But I am very interested to see, MVS in particular, how much he's in the rotation. Because they used him all over the formation. They used him in the slot quite a little bit, which is obviously where we saw Davante Adams there last week.
Yep.
We've seen Randall Cobb there. Obviously, that's where he lives. How much MVS are we going to see now that guys are healthy? That, to me, one of the most interesting things to watch on Sunday.
You know what's funny is having a lot of players is like kryptonite to Mike McCarthy. Like the more, the more superstar or up and coming players he has,
talented players, right?
The less he knows what to do. I feel like we talked about this on the show before.
A couple weeks ago,
it goes to the Aaron Jones thing.
Right.
It goes to, does he really know how to use the tight ends? It's almost like having a plethora of.
Well, to me, it's like he just doesn't. It doesn't seem like he wants to feature and or ride one guy. In any given scenario, other than Davante Adams, who is on pace for, I think he's already broken a record as far as the most receptions, like 7+ in consecutive games in Packers history. Bill Huber, your friend, put that out there because he read it up on Pro Football Reference. But not even Sterling Sharp did that. He did it in 4 games in a row. Davante, he's probably going to continue to do that. Which is pretty damn impressive.
Well, right now,
the history of the Green Bay Packers.
He's on pace to be the number one wide receiver in the NFL.
Well.
In yardage.
If he continues on this pace, yes. But now with all these options, as you're saying, who knows? I mean, that to me is the thing with Mike. It's like he does know he has all this talent, but it's just, I guess, wanting to incorporate it all kind of paralyzes him. And I think it costs the offense rhythm. It costs the offense cohesiveness because they're doing so many different things. And that comes to our next point. I really think they should open up in the no huddle / quick passing game. Let Aaron control things at the line of scrimmage, and like try and help jumpstart this offense.
Mm.
You know, it's something they've been looking for all season.
When's the last time they did that in the first quarter?
It's been a while. A
couple years, right?
I mean, I would go back to when they ran the table. They did it a little bit, but I just think that's the best way to come out. And I know it's funny because I know Tom Silverstein wrote a really good piece for JS Online about the running game, about the need to commit to the running game. I'm kind of the exact opposite persuasion. And I'm not all in on why run when you can win. I think that's a fun joke. I do think, obviously, you need to be able to run the football. But honestly, I think the short passing game needs to be an extension of the running game. And it needs to help get your quarterback in rhythm, your offense some consistency, which it has sorely lacked all season long. To me, that's how I would attack this game in particular. I think you just need to get Aaron going and get him in a rhythm with these quick game slant, screen, etc., stuff like that. You're reading comments.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I, you know, bye week shows.
You're just not feeling it, dude.
It's just like, didn't we talk about all this?
Yeah, we did.
Sorry, I know people are bored. Also, people are hating on me on the chat, and I'm trying not to read it, and it's really hard.
Why are you reading the chat?
Because
when
people,
do you read the chat?
Because there's people I know on there that I like.
Yeah, but not the people ripping on you.
No.
Who's ripping on you?
I don't know. I think it's someone's troll handle. It's fine.
Oh, probably.
I can deal with it.
Jamie says, should I switch chats? Because my brain can only handle one.
Yeah, apparently, according to Alex Talish, the YouTube chat likes you and the Facebook chat likes me.
That makes sense because I'm on Facebook a lot more. So that makes sense.
Well, and the Facebook chat started with questions. So
yeah, because you usually when I do my lives, I have questions and I answer.
Well, we can answer some questions once we get through the stuff.
Once we get through our stuff, right? The run game attempts. That's something we have talked about a lot.
Yep.
But it's like, and like I was saying about Tom Silverstein, I thought he wrote a really good piece. I don't know. I just don't feel it. I don't think they need to ride a running game.
If they don't really practice the run.
That's the whole another question.
I know that was like 10 years ago, but...
The Ryan Grant thing, right?
Yeah, but it's like, I don't know.
But it's never been a focus.
You know, we talked about this literally last week's show was about what is the identity of the offense, right?
There isn't one. Right.
So I hope they get it against the Rams because the Rams have an identity now.
Oh, yeah, they do.
But the Rams can be disrupted. How great is it going to be when we beat the Rams, though? Like for 1 week, okay.
It'll be great. I'd love it
if we beat the Rams. Okay,
right.
They are the only undefeated team left in the thing. Right, because I saw the Kansas City game. Yeah. Right. Yeah. So Kansas City looks pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So when we beat the Rams, okay.
Right.
We beat them. We are going to spend a glorious week on television. Right?
That is the best feeling, isn't it?
It's the greatest.
Like when they win.
Everyone's talking
no
about the Packers.
It, and all of a sudden the Packers are awesome
it's
again.
It's like we're the Dallas Cowboys.
Right. It's Aaron Rodgers is a bad man.
Yeah, it's like we're Dallas Cowboys or we're the Patriots, right? Remember when before the internet was really a thing, every time we won, like my favorite thing to do, and I don't do it less and less now because there's so much other content, is watching the SportsCenter highlights over and over. Like my dad would literally like, okay, it's on, and then it's just running.
All the time.
And you're just like, we won. So it's
you're
like
marinating
great.
In it. That's the best part. I love it. Switching over to the defense, the number one question I get, and I don't think it's like even close, is Bashaun Breeland going to play this week? People, I want to tell you a secret. The coaches don't call me and give me the game plan. They don't tell me the roster decisions. They don't let me know these things. I have no idea if Breeland's going to play. None whatsoever. I hope he does. I think he's a talented young kid.
I hope so too.
But, I mean, I have no idea. And exactly how is he going to fit into the rotation? That's my other question. Who are you putting on the bench? Are you benching Tremont? Are you benching Kevin King? You putting Jair Alexander down?
Is Jair Alexander playing this week?
Well, he should be. He practiced today.
Yet another reason to like our chances.
Yeah. And on the flip side.
But what do you do?
For the Rams.
So what do you do? Breeland?
I don't know. I think he comes in as a dime back, most likely.
But he's younger than Tremont, right?
Oh, yeah. Much. So.
You know, I thought the idea was to have Tremont in the slot on the nickel.
Well, they did that in camp a little bit, but.
I thought it was the whole Wiley veteran thing, unless there's someone in the slot who's a number one.
Well, they have Jair there. I like Jair in the slot. You know, and I got to think with the big development today is Cooper Kupp, who is essentially one of their top two wide receivers, is doubtful with a knee injury. That's obviously a really big break for the Packers.
Yeah.
They still have Robert Woods. I think Kevin King matches up with him. And then Cooks is the big issue. He's the speed guy that's going to give them problems.
The greatest thing about the Rams, they're the greatest team in the NFL right now. Mm-hmm. With a bunch of people you ain't never heard of.
Well, I think you ain't never heard of because you only pay attention to the Packers.
I never heard of either of those wide receivers.
Exactly.
Are they even in the top 10?
Well, they're good. Doesn't matter what they're in. They're good. You're going to know Robert Woods and Cooks by the end of this week. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm going to know because I'm going to be laughing when the Packers win and they their ass handed to them.
Speaking of having your ass handed to you, this is not the week to send pressure. I know everyone wants to blitz all the time, send pressure, etc. This is a team. This is a head coach and play caller who will make you pay.
Well, and the other thing is, if you look at the Packers defense, we are winning sacks on coverage sacks. We're not winning sacks on pressure sacks.
Initial pressure.
So why not? You got a secondary, use them.
Absolutely.
And hopefully picks his game up.
The big question is, can the defensive line hold up? The defensive line was pushed around last Monday night, all throughout the game, especially in the run game, obviously. I don't think the Rams' offensive line is quite as physical as the 49ers, but it's similar. And, you know, they get going downhill with Gurley. It's a long day. It's play action.
Yeah.
It's misdirection.
Yeah.
It's the defensive line has got to hold up. And that's where I'm like, where's Montrevious Adams? You know, where is this rotation along the defensive line? Right now they're playing Kenny Clark on 95% of the snaps.
Mm.
You can't do that all year. This poor kid's going to totally wear out.
But who else is there?
Nobody. Well, they brought up Lancaster from the practice squad. Wow. Lancaster from the practice squad had more snaps than our former third-round pick, Montrevious Adams.
Wow.
I mean, that's disconcerting. You look at Adams. You look at Josh Jones. These are players who should be, like, helping form the core of this team, and they're not playing at all. I think Montrevious Adams had two or three snaps, maybe four tops. That's not great. So the defensive line, big worry.
It just goes back to 2015 to 2017,
yes.
The dry period.
Yes.
The desert
Very
era.
Much so. We're going to talk about it later on in the show.
Oh, yeah.
During Blogosphere.
Oh, cool.
You know that because you read the script.
Yeah. Got it.
Well, we're talking about the Packers versus the Rams, so let's get to it. Let's get to some keys, and obviously the biggest key, the number one key, a number one, and this is a big reason why the defensive line has to hold up, is Todd Gurley. Their running back, MVP extraordinaire. I think he ran for like 130-plus yards last time he faced Green Bay. Of course, it was a very different team. But he's a weapon, and he makes that offense go. And I totally understand the desire to play coverage, not send pressure. Like I just said, this is not the week two pressure. But they got to get bodies in the box, and they got to get this guy. At least he's going to get his,
yeah.
No doubt about that. But if you're picking your poison, like either Gurley's going to beat you or Goff is going to beat you,
make Goff beat you.
Like, sure. And yes, he can. He has done a very good job of that through the first seven games of the season. But if you got to pick your poison, that's the way you should be picking. Because Gurley will just straight up maul this team if they sit back in a cover two shell and not and don't stack the box.
Yeah.
I mean, that's I know it's going to be hard to watch at times, but there's no doubt in my mind.
Well, and the run defense has at times been stiff. There have been times. There have been times when they've been a sieve, but there have definitely been times
when they've
been stiff.
Too much inconsistency. Way too much inconsistency. But yeah, I mean, they're going to get theirs. There's no doubt about it. They're too good at an offensive team for them not to be. On the flip side, with the Packers, they have to control the football. And I know everyone thinks that means run the ball. And again, I don't think it does. I don't think it has to mean that. I think they just have to control the football and have, you know, pick up third downs, move the chains, make the drives go 8-9 minutes, you know?
Yeah.
Keep the ball out of their hands.
Well, I just wish we would live in a we would not stop living in the fantasy world where Aaron Rodgers can hold on to the ball a long time. Even if you're not going to do quick passes,
right.
Like, don't use third down to sit there for 7 seconds, okay?
Get the ball out of your hands.
Don't make that the time you do that. That's the things where it's like, guys, that's not our team right now. Like, I hope that they spent this bye week looking at tape, because I didn't. And I hope...
Because it's not your job and it is theirs. Right.
I hope they spent this week looking at tape from the last... from the last part of the season, the first part of the season, because they're not a team that can sit back and take their time and throw the ball. No. Like, get the ball out of here. Even if you're not going to go hurry up, even if you're not going to do quick passes, even if you're not going to be the dink and dunk team we all want you to be,
right?
You know, 3-step and 5-step, drop it. 5-step being generous. Like, slow down.
3.5 to 4.
Exactly.
And then finally... It's a matter of when. It's not if, people. It's a matter of when Sean McVay will get Cooks deep on Kentrell Bryce.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not even, like, just put it to bed. If you want to go to Vegas and make a prop bet on something, this is the one to do. There's going to come a time, and it may not happen until third, fourth quarter, but there will be a moment in this game where McVay schemes it up, where he gets Cooks deep on Bryce, and it's up to Bryce to change the narrative, to just bat the ball away, make a play, recognize pre-snap that Cooks is the guy who can beat you deep at any moment, and be ready for your backpedal and get back there already. I mean, because it's coming. There has never been a moment in my life where I've been more sure of anything than I am of this right now. Cooks deep against Bryce is coming on Sunday afternoon. And the question is, will Bryce be up to the challenge? He's had all bye week to work on it. They've been breaking down all the tape. The coaches have undoubtedly gotten in his ear and said, look.
It sucks because Vikings.
This is the guy.
It sucks because he's had his opportunities.
Yeah.
And he just hasn't made the most of them.
Absolutely.
It's not that he's almost had a similar problem as Ha has had, where you don't know. A lot of people are grading Ha Ha as, like, I guess.
PFF had him as the second best safety in the league.
The second best safety in the league. I do not know of any Packer fan who, if you told them, who actually watched the game.
Right.
Who, if you told them, hey, Ha Ha Clinton Dix is the second best safety in the league.
Most of them would probably laugh at you.
Everyone would laugh. There is not one person who would be like, yeah.
That sounds about right.
That makes a lot of sense.
Like, okay, here's the thing. And this is when Ha Ha blocked me, because I went to defend him on Twitter.
Well, he can't block this YouTube.
I shouldn't have done that, but... you know, it's like he's nowhere near as bad as Packer fans want to make him out to be.
No.
And I agree. And Bryce is the same
way. Same way, exactly.
Bryce has
That's
been exposed
point.
On a few plays.
Exactly.
They are big plays, so they get imprinted on people's brains.
But every safety gets burned on big plays. Even Leroy Butler got burned on big plays.
Not with consistency, though.
No.
That's the issue.
It's true.
If it's happening one time a game, okay, fine. But if it's happening one time a game every single game, then it's an issue. And that's an exaggeration as well, because it hasn't happened every single game. But there have certainly been big plays over and around Bryce nearly every single game. And that's just, you can't live like that. You can't, especially when you're giving up points off of those plays, which they have been. So it's a big test. He's at some point, he's got to sink or swim. He's got to pass this test. And I hope, I'm praying, please, both baby and Jesus on the cross. I just hope Kentrell Bryce is ready for this challenge.
I believe in Kentrell Bryce.
So you're the one.
For the moment.
For the moment. Right, exactly.
For the moment.
Until Sunday rolls
Through
around.
Sunday.
Wait, are you going? You're not going to this game.
So you'll Sunday.
We'll be watching the game here.
We'll be watching this game. And Friday night.
Friday night, people.
Friday night.
You want to get a taste.
We're going to do another Madden challenge.
Madden
and hopefully,
for you, baby.
Hopefully, Nagler takes us seriously this time.
Yeah, okay.
Doesn't screw around.
Let me, okay.
Like, literally, okay. I'm not even going to read the chat this time. Because right. if I read the chat, you're just going to do what's on the chat.
Okay, let me address the camera here. Gaff, I'm going to take the camera here. No. To everyone who turned up for the first Madden preview, I'd like to apologize for the flippant nature of my involvement. I did not take it seriously. I listened to chat comments, and when they said throw it deep to Devontae, I threw it deep to Devontae, whether he was double covered or not.
Triple coverage.
It happened that he was double covered, and the ball was intercepted. There were several times when I didn't use my timeouts when I could have, but
at the end,
here's a little secret
when you could have won.
What no one knows is that that game, was supposed to take place at, I believe, 4?
Oh, Eastern. I see. Is the excuse fairy showing
I
up
had,
right now?
I had an engagement.
Is there an excuse fairy
at
here?
9 p.m.?
Oh.
For which I was late because someone, and I won't mention any names, but their initials are Corey Banky, forgot to download the fucking game. So we sat here at the mercy of whatever internet servers
4 gigabytes.
Were hating life at that moment, waiting for literally hours for Madden to download. So by the time the game was downloaded and we were ready to go, it was pretty clear I was going to be late for said engagement. So I did not take it seriously. I raced through it and I didn't care. And that's why I didn't use my timeouts at the end and it ended up as a tie because I just wanted to get the hell out of here. Oh. But this time, you have my solemn oath and promise that I will be completely devoted to Green Bay Packers fans.
You would have won the game.
I know. So we all know I would have won, so it's good.
Wait, how many interceptions did you force Aaron Rodgers to have?
Like 4, I think, in the first half.
You know what's funny is I remember the Madden game better than the actual game.
That's scary.
That's weird, right?
You were more involved. You were more invested, even though you were at that game.
It's so weird. Like, I remember we
you
won.
You were at the game.
Yeah. I was at both games.
Oh, my God, that's funny.
What the hell is wrong with me?
You are a sick individual. All right, Gaff, roll it. I'm done with this nonsense.
This week in the Packer blogosphere.
What are you laughing about now?
So Nagler has the same clock managed skills as McCarthy.
Exactly. I'm just, trying to keep it realistic.
Oh, okay.
Everyone kept yelling at me. Anyway, this week in the Packer blogosphere, the return of that venerable series. Banky, there's a new reporter on the Packers beat.
Yes.
And I wanted to give a shout out to one Olivia, I believe it's Reiner. I'm not quite sure of the pronunciation.
Right.
Olivia Reiner. She's pretty much taken my old position at PackersNews.com doing video and social. Want to welcome her. She's already kicking butt. If you haven't, make sure you follow her on Twitter. She's doing a ton of great video work with the guys and gals on the beat. Check it all out because, she's doing great work.
It's
and
great.
We always want to encourage, support, give a shout out to great work on the beat.
God knows the Packer beat writers need more females. There needs to be more diversity in the Packer beat writers.
Well, no doubt. No doubt. Hey.
And she's contributing a lot. I'm watching her videos. They're very professional.
Unlike mine.
Yeah, she's kind of a good contrast to what you brought.
Yeah, well, she's up in the game. She's actually kind of professional.
Yeah.
As opposed to blogger boy
over here. Interesting.
Yeah, it's good. It's good.
I like it. I like it. It's a good move for them. God knows they need some modern content.
Yes, no doubt. And that's what it's
And I love all those guys. Tom and Pete are some of the
They're
best
the
beat reporters in the biz.
No doubt.
We're very lucky to have them. And sometimes you can include Domofsky and Wildy in that.
So, sometimes.
Sometimes.
Well, speaking of Domofsky, I think everyone should check out Domofsky's post at ESPN.com. I don't know if it went up today or yesterday, but he wrote about exactly what you were talking about, Banky, the dark period, 2015 to 2017, the drafts of those years from Ted Thompson, nay, maybe Russ Ball.
The medieval times?
The medieval
draft.
Times. It's bad, man. It's bad.
It's terrible.
You look at it, and we were talking about Montrevious Adams and Josh Jones, and you talk about Kyler Fackrell. These are the guys, the mid-round guy, Jason Spriggs. these are some bad draft picks.
And here's what's really funny.
And they're supposed to be the core of
I
your team.
Guarantee if you go back to every pick we had from 2015 to 2017.
Oh, no.
And you watch Mike Mayock and
Rich Eisener.
No, 50s greaser guy.
Mel Kiper?
Mel Kiper. If you watch them, right, I bet they're like, either, oh, yeah, that's a good value pick for the Packers. Ah, that's a good pick. I like this pick for the Packers. You know, I guarantee right. they say always. The same crap that they would have said.
Pick. Every pick. It's just sad. You know, you're watching this team really kind of come up short in certain areas or not play guys. You know, I mean, Josh Jones can't get on the field.
Mm.
He's fully healthy.
Mm.
He can't beat out an undrafted free agent.
What year was Justin Harrell? That was a little earlier.
Oh, man, that was long.
But Justin Harrell was a miss among an ocean of goods.
Yeah. Exactly. I mean, that was a missed first-round pick. Ron Wolf missed on a whole lot of first-round picks.
No, and you're going to miss on
especially
people. It's not about we're not going to miss, right? Oh, and picking late. Yeah. First round, anything like—
past like 10, 12, whatever. You're
there's no bets. Like, the bets are off. You're in a 50-50 land of whether they're even going to— You know what's crazy? I was watching, what were we watching last night? It was a college thing, and it was about oh, it was Brian Gumbel Sports.
Oh, right.
On HBO, which is a great program. Mm-hmm. And it was talking about concussions, and it was talking about players who die suddenly. So there have been 30 players since 2000, 30 NCAA college players since 2000 that have died practicing.
Crazy.
Because, and they go into strength and conditioning coaches, how they're not certified, and how like people people with anemia have like this anemic marker.
Yep.
And if they have that, like, you have to watch out for them. And they, and like
nobody
a lot
is.
Of people, nobody is.
Right.
And then the other thing is heat stroke and not taking it seriously.
Oh, man.
And how like the simplest thing, like throwing a player in a tub of ice will save their life.
Right.
Right. So they're talking about that. And there was a stat that kind of just blew my mind. Right. It was like 13,600, somewhere in the thousands, right. Mm-hmm. Between 13 and 15. I don't really remember the exact number, but it was like, that's how many players come into their graduate college or are ready to trying to be an NFL prospect for this year. Mm-hmm. And they take 316, between 316 and 360. So it's like, that number, right, of like looking at and flipping that on its head of like looking at it as a scout, right? I'm looking at 13,000. Now, yes, the intangibles, the tangibles, all the little like that stuff
things
helps
you
right? The markers help you. Like, oh, they do a 440 in this. They do this. They can touch the 7 foot whatever.
Measurables.
That's what I was looking for. Yeah, those things help you. But if you're trying to pick 13,500 people and get it down to the best 350
whatever.
Or so people.
Right.
That's insane.
Yes. Yes. And it's really subjective. And people have all these opinions are gathered into a room and everyone lobbies for what what they've seen on tape, what they've heard from their coaches, what they've put up in those measurable moments as far as whether it's a pro day or a combine workout or whatever. And then ultimately it comes down to one decision maker and they have to own it. And Ted Thompson, unfortunately, has to own 2015 to 2017. And as Rob wrote in his piece, and it's the whole reason I think people should read it, you know, ultimately, the question you take away from this is why didn't Mark Murphy act sooner?
Mm-hmm.
When it became really apparent that Ted had kind of lost his edge, we all saw the shots of him in the press box.
Mm.
You know, those of us on the beat saw him in the press box or around the team just very noticeably different. You know, I can't ever speculate about what's going on with the guy, but it's clear he's different. And you know why Murphy didn't act sooner? That's going to be something that I think maybe comes out in time, maybe it doesn't, but that 2015, as you call it, like this dark period, 15 to 17, where they really lost their edge. I mean, they really did. And maybe that plays into some of the frustration McCarthy was feeling. You know, it would come out after every season.
Yeah.
You know, McCarthy's frustrated with Thompson's approach. Well, I don't doubt it, especially. Yeah, I think like Gutekunst going and getting Breland, McCarthy might have, you know, probably loved that until the guy got hurt instantly and couldn't play. But that's the type of move, you know, that wasn't made under the previous regime. And I'm interested to see. We've still got like five, six days until the trade deadline. I'm still wondering if
you think the Packers are going to make a move. Well, hold on.
I doubt it.
I doubt it. I want to say one thing that goes to. Mm-hmm. I really believe that by allowing Ted to have complete autonomy,
right?
And I'm talking about little things here, right? Ted could decide if he was going to do a press conference, right? Yeah. Certainly, and he did none.
Nope.
He does zero.
He did what was required by the league.
Right, which what does the league require a GM to do?
You have to do the availability at the combine. Actually, you don't even have to do that. But you have to do the availabilities for training camp. And that's it. And you can, I don't know if it's required after the draft. I think it is. But
see, and here's where I have a problem, right? The Packers are a public company,
yes,
right?
Of course.
A public company on the normal stock exchange. I know we're not talking about this, right? Their CEO's got to go in front of the press. Elon Musk has got to go in front of the press every quarter.
Well, he did,
right?
He was out.
How much of the press conference is an inoculation against some of this, right?
Right.
Because if I'm public, right, mm-hmm. I have to answer to the public.
Or at least
I have to at least
yourself.
Answer questions.
Yeah, be held
Can you imagine Ted Thompson really answering questions every week?
No chance.
At some point, we would have seen the trend of whatever is going on with him, right? There's some kind of,
And I think we did.
There's some kind of illness, whatever it is. There's something happening that happened to Ted, okay? Nobody wants to talk about it.
Nope.
Nobody wants to really discuss what happened, but the sad thing is that the Green Bay Packers, and by extension, the town of Green Bay, suffered because of one man's basic, you know, fiefdom imploded below him.
Now. To be fair to Mark Murphy, he acknowledged as much by breaking up the chain of command the way he did. You know, he said things had gotten insular. People weren't talking to each other. So he wanted to open things up and make everyone accountable to him. Now, that puts him on the football side a hell of a lot more.
Well, and the problem with that is, if you look at the history of the Green Bay Packers,
you don't have to tell me. I know.
The board had to take control from Curly Lambeau. That's way, way back, right?
Yep.
The same thing had to happen when everyone was only accountable to this like board and not to the president and not to there was no buck stops here. The buck stops with the committee, which is made up of business owners in Green Bay.
Right.
Which is not the way to go. So
no, I agree.
You know, at the balance, the scales of balance for this team.
Well, and only look, we've talked about this a lot. We talked about it in the offseason. You know, time will tell if Mark made the right call. Obviously, the next big move will be hiring a coach because McCarthy's not going to be there much longer, whether he wins or loses. I mean, maybe he wins the Super Bowl and rides off into the sunset, or you know, he loses.
When we
enough
win the Super Bowl this year, they're not going to fire Mike McCarthy.
No, I think my hunch.
You don't win the Super Bowl and lose your job.
No, but if they win the Super Bowl, I bet Mike retires.
No way.
Oh yeah.
He's going to be Andy Reid, dude. I really think this. I think wherever Mike ends up, I think you're going to see exactly what you saw in Kansas City with Andy Reid. You're going to see, holy crap, a brilliant coach that we've just been taking for granted, which I do believe. Yeah, I do believe the fan base has taken for granted.
No, absolutely.
And Mike Sherman set us up for that, right? Mike Sherman set us up for where we are today, but I really think you're going to look back and Mike McCarthy's going to take over, you know, whoever, Jacksonville or whoever he takes over.
Right.
And it's going to be like what you're seeing with Reid and the Chiefs.
I agree to an extent, but I also think Mike has been in this spot for so long now. I mean, 13 years is a long ass time in the NFL. Obviously, and Reid was in Philadelphia for a long time, no doubt about it. But I just get the sense, and actually at the combine this year, when we walked in for our, you know, beat lunch with the coach, and it was, you know, basically all the local guys at this long table. And Mike walks in after we were just getting done with Gutekunst. And I think Gutekunst told Mike, he was like, yeah, they're asking about, you know, drafting the next quarterback, you know, because that's obviously the next big thing Gutekunst has to do is find his guy, right?
Yep.
And Mike said, oh, I'm going to be on my lazy boy watching you do that. You know, like, I just think it's in his head that this is his last push. Now, not maybe specifically this year, but like he's got 2 years left in his deal. They're trying to get to a Super Bowl, win it. And I just think Mike goes, see ya. That's just my hunch. That's just like, I think that's what he wants more than anything else. Win the Super Bowl, go out on top.
Yeah, somebody makes a good point. Maybe he goes to Pittsburgh.
So they do a coach swap and Tomlin comes to Green Bay.
I would do that.
That would be such a like swap of personalities and vibes, it'd be amazing.
I mean, look, yes, we had our first African-American coach. The Packers are due for a real, really good African-American coach. It would be really, really good for the town. A really good coach now.
Obviously, I agree.
You don't just hire somebody because they're...
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just want a good football team.
Would be great.
Yes, I totally agree. I think both of them would benefit from a change of scenery. The big thing for Tomlin would be who would be his offensive coordinator, who's running the offense, how do they gel with Rodgers, et cetera, et cetera. But that's a long way
away. I mean, here's
the
thing, though. Like I said, I think I said this 4 weeks ago.
Right.
Okay?
So we're repeating ourselves from 4 weeks ago.
You know, Nagler.
It's good. No, I like it.
You're killing me right now. we are going to draft a quarterback in this draft and not...
You keep saying it.
And we are not doing
Maybe
it
you're
in
will
round
it
five. We're going to do it in round one or round two.
I love it.
Okay?
I love it. Mostly because it would send Twitter into a meltdown, and I'd love it.
We have to. There's no way you can't do that. It would be fiduciarily irresponsible of Gutekunst.
To not draft a quarterback in the first or second round.
Yes.
I think it all depends on the quarterbacks available. I don't think you can like just hammer it into a box.
Okay, first three rounds.
Well, it depends on who's available.
It's got to be a real quarterback. It can't be a fifth round quarterback.
It depends on how the draft falls to me. But can I just say, so this morning, speaking of the draft and speaking of Gutekunst and how they use these picks, you know, something really got my goat this morning when I woke up to an alert saying that the Lions, who have a terrible run defense, traded for Snacks Harrison here in New York. The Giants, probably the best run-stuffing defensive tackle in the league. The guy is amazing. He can't really rush the passer, but he's an amazing player who would absolutely boosted the Packers' now suspect front.
And also his name is Snacks.
Snacks Harrison, come on. But and the Lions went and got him for a fifth-round pick. Now, I know we don't want to give up on future abilities to draft a punter, but it just seems like a fifth-rounder is not a lot. To go invest and improve your football team right now. I get he's older. I get he'd be a little bit more expensive. But, yo, your team just got pushed around without Muhammad Wilkerson on the field. And you don't have any ready replacements unless you're all of a sudden going to magically play Montrevious Adams, who you've deemed unworthy of playing time. And that's, to me, is the quintessential problem in Green Bay if Gutekunst continues down this road he's seemingly taken from Thompson, which is... We're always planning for the future. We're always ensuring that we're in the mix, but we're never really trying to push in the moment to improve our football team. Like, this is a move that would have immediately helped them. It would have immediately helped their defense. But because, you know, we've got to hold on to these picks, why? So you can draft the Josh Joneses and Montrevious Adams and Kyler Fackrells of the world and then not get anything out of them? Like, get a guy who you know is going to help you. You know the tape is there to show you how much he's going to help you. That, to me, at a reasonable price. I'm not saying, like I get the...
But are you going to get a reasonable price?
I get a fifth-round pick. I mean, I get not sending two ones for Mac.
But then when are we going to draft J.K. Scott, though,
Nagler?
That's
why I said it at the top.
You got to hold that J.K. Scott pick.
I know.
Which, by the way, like, he's getting close to being a bust. I'm sorry.
Not even close.
He is getting close to being a bust. If you take a punter in the draft, that punter better be the best punter. I'm going to say it every week. It's such a crock. Okay, so you got to save that pick. And also, somebody said Kaiser is a second round pick. You need to get off the chat before I ban you. Okay? Get off the chat. Put the beer down. Kaiser, no one on our team counts as a backup quarterback right now. It's a bunch of BS that we've been sold for the last 4 years of our life. We saw it last year.
Right.
It's crap. We do not have a backup quarterback right now. If we do have a backup quarterback, it's our third string quarterback.
Boyle. Or Randall Cobb, the emergency quarterback.
Yeah, I'd rather see Randall Cobb than Kaiser on the field, telling you.
You got anything else? Any other pearls of wisdom for him, Banky?
I can't
wrap it up.
I just don't understand. The only reason you like J.K. Scott, okay,
because he can hit the ball.
No, the only reason you like J.K. Scott, okay, is that you know that it's like,
a
button,
a little bit of that,
right?
I know how much it pisses you off.
Because I bet I can pull up transplants from like years ago where you're like, do not take a punter or a kicker in the draft.
I wouldn't do it. No. But hey, you know, the Seahawks did it, and their punter is amazing.
Wouldn't you rather, like,
a little bit before
who in the
Scott.
Fifth round this year, right?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I don't know. I haven't broken down the.
You
fifth
probably
round.
Know the answer to this.
You know who I'd want instead of J.K. Scott? The Seahawks punter. That's who I'd want.
No, but here, I bet there was a defensive end or a defensive tackle that is playing really well right now that was taken
point.
In the
fifth
fourth
round.
Round
picks are total crapshoots. They're like throwing darts. Like, it's just a fifth round pick, get the punter.
Donald Driver was a seventh round pick.
I understand that. How many other seventh round picks have they had in the last 20 years that have done what Donald Driver did? Zero. That's like, it's a one in a million. Well done, leading wide receiver in Packers history. I applaud him for it, but it's just, that's a random chance. That's all it is. You done bitching now? Can I wrap up the show?
I'm not done.
All right.
But I'm done for right now.
Okay, good. That'll do it for this week's Transplants. We'd like to thank everyone who connected with us all across the internet, be it here with Cheesehead TV or on any of our social channels. You guys are really what makes this, what drives it. It's a unique fan experience, and that's why Corey and I are here. We are, and will always be, devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide.
Take the high road when something like this happens. Is there any positive in terms of motivation for your guys, how ticked off they are about how this played out, any of that that can be used in any positive way whatsoever?
I'm not in the mood for drama tonight, Jason, okay? I appreciate that.
What do you think you told the critics tonight?